Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we are following what's called the narrative lectionary. The narrative lectionary only runs from the second Sunday in September through Pentecost, which is usually in May or even early June. After that, in the summer, you're kind of left to do some of your own series, and I've kind of ran out. And so for the next 3 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to look at three key features of Lutheran doctrine or Lutheran theology. This morning, we'll look at justification. Next week, we'll look at something called the priesthood of all believers. And then on Labor Day, I thought it'd be fitting to look at good works. And so, and after that, then we'll get back into our narrative lectionary. So for today, we have justification, which I know is one of those churchy words you might hear that almost nobody can define or tell you what it means. And the definition I'm going to give doesn't even help that much until I kind of describe it a little later. Justification should be said, it's more a declaration of righteousness. That's what it means. And the Reformers, the Lutheran Reformers, saw this issue as the one that the whole church should be built upon. And in their Reformation writings, it was this topic that they wrote about the most as they were in discussion with the Catholic Church of the day. It was the most contentious issue that they had, or one of the most contentious issues that they had. From Romans chapter 3, and this passage in Romans chapter 3 is a very good passage to talk about justification and declaration of righteousness. We hear this in Romans 3:19. Paul tells the church in Rome, "We know that everything in the law was written for those who are under its power. The law says these things to stop anyone from making excuses and to let God show that the whole world is guilty." Now, literally, what Paul is saying is he's almost imagining the law as a person. And he talks about the law as though the law speaks. And he says that when the law speaks, everyone else is silent. When the law speaks, no one else can say a word. It leaves us all quiet. It leaves us all muzzled up. It leaves us all accountable to God. Imagine it this way. Imagine you're standing in a courtroom. And this courtroom is beautiful. It's got, you know, just beautiful cherry wood, and it's inlaid with gold and jewels all over the place. And you're standing there, but you're standing in a place that you really don't want to be standing. You're standing where the accused stands. And as you're standing there, you're thinking, well, wait a minute, this isn't just any court, this is God's court, where God the Father himself presides as judge. But as you stand there, you think, well, I feel pretty good about myself. I feel like I'm a good person. I haven't committed any crimes. I feel like I've been good to my family, I've been good to my community, and so maybe you're kind of talking yourself up a little bit. And then as you're standing there, you look over where the prosecutor stands, and there's somebody standing there as well, and he's dressed in a sharp gray suit, and he has a real unyielding look to his face. And he's the first to speak. And as he comes forward to present his case, he brings a book. And you know that this isn't just any book. It is God's book. And specifically, it is the law of the Lord. It is all the commands, all the righteous decrees, all the moral requirements that God has laid out upon all of humanity. And as he brings this out, he begins to read it. And he reads words that cover the whole spectrum. He talks about words that concern drunkenness and lewd behavior. He speaks about how God has words on what comes out of our mouth, whether it's spoken against somebody or just spoken out in anger. Words that deal with our attitudes, the attitudes of our hearts, especially attitudes towards other people, whether they're poor or rich, Democrat, Republican, whatever color they might have on their skin. It talks about our attitudes towards these people. In this, there are words that condemn lust. Lust not just that is expressed in our flesh, but the things that are thought in our own heads. Things that never even come out of our mouth or are acted upon, but even stay there. Words against those kind of things too. Words against selfishness. Words against our anger. Anger that we act out upon or even just harbor in our souls. Anger. Coveting. There are statutes in there about how a person parents their children, statutes about how a person regards their parents, how we deal with our stuff, how we deal with our money, how we deal with our own body. And as you hear it all, you realize that you're guilty, that you are unrighteous, that the law has done what the law is supposed to do. The law, the reformers talked about it, is like holding up a mirror and seeing yourself for who you truly are. I think one of the last hotel rooms we were in, it had a nice bathroom in it. And in this bathroom, and I've seen multiple hotel rooms like this, I don't know why they do it. But in the bathroom, there's the sink, of course, and above the sink, there's like a huge mirror that just covers the whole wall, and straight across from it is the shower stall. And I don't know about you, but when I get out of the shower, I don't want a great big picture of myself staring back at me. I don't want to see every single little flaw that I might have, because that's what it's showing me. That's what the law is. It's a mirror that shows every little flaw that we have. It lays us bare, it exposes us, and it shows us who we truly are, and we don't like what we see. Paul describes the law also like a mic drop. Have you heard that phrase, mic drop? It was kind of made famous by President Obama. He gave a speech, and at the end of the speech, he held the mic out, and he dropped it, and he said, "Obama out," and he walked off. And he didn't introduce it. It was around before. Comedians have used it. Rappers have used it. Others have used it. A mic drop is when you've given a word. You've given a speech, and you just know it's good. And it's the final word. You know that there's nothing anybody can say to what you just said. It is the final authoritative word. So you hold the mic out, you drop it, you walk away. Nobody can pick it up. The law is like a mirror. The law here is like a mic drop. It leaves us silent. We can't say anything about it, because it shows us who we are. It shows us to be condemned, accountable to God. It shows us to be unrighteous, which is to be guilty as charged. And like I said, in Romans 3, Paul makes this clear, that there is no work of the law, no obedience to the law that can make us not guilty, that can make us innocent, that can make us righteous. The law shows us who we are, and the gospel shows us who we need. And who we need is Jesus. So imagine, again, you're standing in that courtroom and the mic has been dropped, the mirror is now put away, but in walks Jesus. And he, and only he, can pick up that microphone and speak to the Father on your behalf. And he says, Father, your law shows this person to be guilty, shows this person to be condemned, but I know this person. And this person has faith in me. He believes in me. So take their sin and credit their unrighteousness to me. Put their unrighteousness upon me. For through their faith and through faith, I put my righteousness on them. I declare this person to be righteous, not account of their own good, but account of me and my righteousness. This is what justification it is. It's to be declared righteous purely through faith, not on account of anything we could possibly say or do, because we're left quiet. We're left silent by the law. This declaration from Christ comes to you not because you deserve it, not because you could work for it, not because you are a special or good person. It comes purely by faith in Christ, who took your unrighteousness upon himself and died for it. You are declared righteous, as Paul says, by his grace, by the grace of Christ, as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who was given as a blood sacrifice for you to the Father. And it's a gift only received by faith. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, gracious Lord, help us to marvel, to dwell, to rest fully in this gift that you have provided for us. Help us to have faith, to know that all our junk, every flaw that we have, is covered by you, by your blood shed for us on the cross. Grant us faith, O Lord, to trust, to believe that you have it all taken care of. We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.